You're listening to episode 315 of the She's Building Her Empire podcast.
Are you looking to blaze the trail and build or expand your business empire? Welcome to She's Building Her Empire, a place of motivation, inspiration, and innovative business strategies to help increase your income and, more importantly, your impact. Follow your purpose while building your empire with your host and business coach, Stacey Tuschel.
Hey there, welcome back to another episode. So today is something a little different. This is an Ask Me Anything podcast. So I posted on Instagram and in my Facebook group, and I basically said, ask me whatever you want. And we had a ton of questions come through, and I went through them, selected a bunch, and then I kind of put them into certain categories. Okay. So here's what we're going to be chatting about today. So there was a lot of questions that came through on inspiration, staying motivated, all of that good stuff, a lot of strategy questions, some personal work-life balance type questions, some people who have local businesses, and then some people who have local businesses that want to come online and have questions about that. And then a lot of questions, I'm shocked, came through about running multiple businesses. Okay, so that's the gist of what we're going to talk about today. We will see how long this goes. This may have to be two parts. We'll see. This is not a script. This is me just reading your questions and giving my honest opinion. So I'm excited to dive right in. Here we go. All right. So this first question is from, I'm going to probably butcher all of these names, so I apologize, but thank you so much for writing in. So Anissa asked, how do you stay consistent and motivated when a new business isn't progressing? Okay. So first of all, this is such a great question and it's such a needed question. Many people are going to need to hear this. So understand that in the beginning, it is normal to get started and feel like nobody knows who you are this best kept secret, no one's following you, nobody's engaging with your social media, you just feel like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? And I say it's normal for a new business. We're going to get into if you're an older business and feel like this, but a new business, you guys, first of all, half of it is mindset, right? We jump in and we're not even fully putting ourselves out there because we're a little nervous. We're a little scared. What are people going to think? What's our family going to think? You know, friends, maybe our spouse, we're nervous. So we're not even fully putting it out there. So you can't expect these amazing, massive results when you're not going all in. Okay. So now I want you to be asking yourself, am I going all in? All right. Now you might be going all in and still not feeling it. And I really feel like it's the compound effect, that snowball effect of you're going to do a lot in the beginning and you may not feel the results for a little while. And that is normal. Okay. On Instagram, I was consistently posting every single day, putting in so much time, so much effort. And honestly, it took a full year before I felt like, okay, this is actually working. And that's why I always tell people, that's what separates people from failing businesses to successful entrepreneurs, is you are going to show up and be consistent even when you feel like, why am I doing this, right? So I want you to understand it's normal, but if you've been doing this for years and you're still wondering why is this not progressing, you may need to get a second look. You may need to have somebody check your blind spots, see what's going on. Sometimes we're just too close to it. And I say sometimes, but really all of the time, we are too close to our business. And if you've been doing this for a long time and you are not getting traction, you may want to have a coach or somebody that you look up to that's doing what you want to do. Just evaluate what's going on, because you shouldn't be doing this for years and years and not be making money, not be having success. Okay. So it's normal in the beginning. It is not normal after you've been committed for a year or longer, I'll say. Okay. And I also want you to understand too, is motivation isn't just engagement, right? Motivation isn't going, oh, I need to be motivated when I see the likes, I see the follows. Motivation is also asking, what's the reason I'm doing this? Like, how, if I believe I can help somebody, if I believe I have a solution to their problem, focus on really helping versus I'm trying to get followers here. I'm trying to make money here, right? Focus on what it actually is that you're doing. And I think you'll see better results. Okay, next question is from Brielle Cotterman. What has been the most important decision you've made in pursuing your professional dreams? Okay. So this is kind of like a one answer, but I feel like there's you're looking for one answer, but there's many, many things. So understand that. So I think first is finding mentors and making sure I always have a coach or a mastermind facilitator that is where I want to end up. So my first business coach I hired at the age of 21. I've always had a coach ever since then. I'm 34, almost 35 this summer. And I've just always been looking for somebody who's a few steps ahead of me. That's been, I think, number one. I cannot tell you that I'm so successful because of the things that I've done. It's really just been people helping me. And I think one of the things that's really helped me too is I've always been all in. I've always been super committed and I'm a hard worker and I'm coachable. And I think my coaches and mentors see that in me. There's a lot of times where I might be talking to somebody who's just incredibly successful and I'm just admiring them so much. And they are just giving me free advice. They are coaching me for free. And it's because I believe they see something in me. They see that I am coachable and I am teachable and I will go all in and I'm not wasting their time. So I think that's been very intentional on my part. They're seeing, like, and I do the same thing. You know, I now see this little thing or spark in somebody where I know they have what it takes and I want to help. I want to give back. So I think that's just this cycle of giving back and having that full circle moment for me too. So really just be going all in and being coachable, being teachable when you find those people that are where you want to be. Okay, Heather Judd, how do you stop feeling like you will be copying a mentor or coach in your same field? Okay, this was so good and it went so good with this last question. So because I've been mentored by so many people, it is hard for me because I'm a sharer. If I find out something that is just, oh my goodness, you need to know this, I want to tell you, right? So you have to be careful because you do need to give credit where credit is due. You guys hear me all the time shout out people and tell you what I'm learning and what conferences I go to. And I really believe you need to give credit where credit is due. I don't ever come back and then try to act like I've made these things up. This is me creating my zone of genius and just coming to you with all this goodness. No, I'm letting you know I've been inspired by certain things. Now, I will say that I don't just take advice from my mentors and my coaches and share it immediately. There are so many things that I've tried and implemented in my business where, okay, this is how the mentor taught me, but I had to tweak it and do it this way. And then here's what I did. So I really put my own unique spin on it. And I don't just learn and share. I learn, I implement, and then I share. And I think that helps me because it can get a little, I mean, as a coach, I have coached people and people have just ripped off my stuff and they don't think they're ripping off my stuff. They think, well, I'm just sharing what I've learned. But you have to come up with your own unique framework or what we talk about thought leadership. I did a podcast with Mel Abraham. Go back and listen to that if you haven't already, because he talks about how to do this. And that's when you become different. That's when you have your own signature framework and people are wanting to know how to do it your way. So just be careful that you're not just looking at people's websites and copying what they're doing. I mean, I had a competitor go on my website and literally hit copy, paste, and put it on her website. And we found it and made her take it down. You can't do that. So be very, very careful that you're letting your inspiration just like be that, inspire you, not be exactly what you're sharing or teaching. You've got to be your own unique self, or why would I go to you when I can go down the street or hire somebody else who's doing exactly what you're doing, but they're more experienced than you. Be very, very careful. Okay, next question is Juliana Piper. Where do you get your inspirations from? What podcast do you listen to, books you like, groups you follow, other things like that? So you're not going to love this, but I'm going to make a very blanket statement here. I follow people that I resonate with. A lot of the people that I follow are women with young children. They already have successful businesses, but they are scaling them. I am following the person that I want to become, okay? But I also think there are different seasons in life, and that also inspires me to what I'm learning about. So recently, I have been on this parenting kick. It's probably because I feel like the businesses are doing so well that I'm now looking at this balance of where do I want to be more well-balanced? Where do I want to excel a little bit more in? And I really have been diving into, I want to be the best mom that I can be. So I've been listening to parenting podcasts and reading parenting books and all of that. And before I was doing the parenting stuff, I was on this health kick and I was listening to Bulletproof Radio and BioTrust Radio and all of these things that I'm going, where am I right now? And what do I want to be better at? I'm not just popping around all over the place, right? So right now, currently, I am diving in headfirst to short-term rental properties because I am buying a new property probably in August or September. And it's one of those things where I'm selling a property and I only have 45 days to buy the next property for tax reasons, and I need to be as prepared as possible. So I'm always asking myself, what's my focus right now? Where's my intention? What am I trying to do or learn at, or get good at, right? And that is where I dive in. So that's, I don't want to say to you, oh, go check out this one or go check out that one, because I don't know if that's what you need right now, right? So just be really careful. I will say I go down a rabbit hole. I find somebody I love, they mention somebody, and then I start checking them out, or I ask friends. I have a couple friends that I just always value their opinion. I'm asking for recommendations. I might ask my tribe. I might come on Instagram and say, hey guys, what do you love? What are you listening to? I'll ask in Facebook groups. All of that. But I really believe it's about the timing and where you're at right now in this season of life. All right, we're moving on to another topic. So I had some strategy questions. And okay, so Lindsay asked, how do I get more, my followers more engaged? Okay, so if you go back to my Instagram, well, first, let's say this. Whatever you want more engagement on, you need to be tracking your numbers. So every single Monday, my team comes to me with all of my numbers, podcasts, Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook group. They're showing me not just my numbers, but where am I up or down from last week, okay? So I always want to see those numbers up. If I see numbers are down for some reason, I immediately go, whoa, what happened? Why are we down? What did we do? Oh, we missed this live? Well, that really made an impact, okay? So I'm always making sure that I'm looking at my numbers. I'll say that first. Then I will say this too. Sometimes we just post because we have to, because people told you that you heard this one expert and she said you have to post every day or twice a day or go live once a week, or, and you start doing it because you're checking off this box, right? You are checking off your to-do list. I went live this week. And instead, you are not coming up with amazing content that your people actually want to hear, because you are just scraping for anything because you are trying to do what you were supposed to do. And this past December, I decided if I want more engagement, I need to become more engaging. How can I get a reaction out of my audience? So if you go back in December, you can actually start to see, how do I say this? You can start to see a big shift in my number of likes and comments. So go back to December on Instagram, you'll see like 100 to 200 likes on a post. And all of a sudden we skyrocketed from like 100 to 200 to about 1,000. And we've progressively gotten better. And my audience, my powerhouse mastermind said, whoa, what are you doing? And honestly, what I did that week was I went in, I erased everything we had pre-scheduled. And I started to say, how can I really get a good reaction? Is this going to be something that they're going to be inspired by and double tap? Is this going to be something where they want to answer? There's certain questions I can ask you and people have to give their opinion. Like if I say, are you an introvert or extrovert, right? Everybody wants to share what they are. It's just like if I ask in my Facebook group, what state are you from? It'll be our most engaging post from that week, right? So I just know what I need to ask or what I need to say. And I shouldn't say I know. I try, I experiment, and then I see what works. We measure, we track, and then we repurpose the really good stuff. You don't have to come up with 365 pieces of content, right? This is actually going to lead into what Michelle asked next. How do you come up with such amazing content for your IG feed? I am running out of amazing things to say. I have a content bank. Everything I post anywhere is saved in a Google Doc somewhere, okay? Right now, this podcast, I am in a Google Doc. I have a podcast folder. And right now it says, Ask Me Anything Podcast. And all of these questions are there. I would never write it down in a notebook and throw this away. This is something I can always come back to. I can always pull questions from, right? So I want you to save that content bank. In my Facebook group, you have to answer questions when you come in. We don't just look at those questions and delete them. We look at those questions and we put them in a spreadsheet in a Google Doc, okay? So grab content from your people. If you don't have people, go into other Facebook groups. Go read what people are asking. Go read blog posts. Go read Pinterest. Go Google. Find out what people are asking and start sharing. Another tip I'll say is, I come up with stories all over the place. I'll be sitting at a conference. I'll be at the grocery store. I'll be anywhere. And I'll think of something that I should bring this up. Oh, I should say this. And I go in my phone and I make a little note so that I can take that information and then come up with stories that will prompt me later. So I have this content bank of just little sentences where if I ever need content, I can go in and get inspired from something. I think when you make yourself come up with something amazing to say today, it puts too much pressure on you. I write about once a week and I've always got this pool of content that I can go grab from. I don't have to think of something on the spot. And that is where a lot of people struggle. All right. Another strategy question from Nicole. What's your number one tip What's your number one tip for consistently getting leads in the online space? Now, I actually think that it doesn't have to be the online space. This is just for any business. I really believe having an automated funnel. You see me with a bunch of these. This is one of the big things I teach in the Profit Mastermind. We're showing off a lot of other people's funnels, but a funnel is just basically where we capture people's contact information, their email, possibly their phone number, and we are trying to get them their info so we can follow up with them to get that sale, okay? So it's not just about getting emails or phone numbers. It's about getting them through this funnel that's going to convert them into a customer. So be careful that you're not asking for something that you actually don't want. How many of you want email addresses, right? Now you might be like, yeah, I want 10,000 emails. No, you really don't want email addresses because you really want a huge list that you can market to and sell to, right? So I don't really care about email addresses and you really don't either. We want customers. We want paying clients that are pulling out their credit cards, and emails and leads and phone numbers are just one step to really the ultimate end result. So just be careful that we're not just doing parts of this because we think we need emails. The question is, how do we get the sale? Okay. So if you're interested in the Profit Mastermind, right now this round is sold out. I'm not sure when we're starting the next one, but if that's something you're interested in, go to shesbuildingherempire.com/Profit Mastermind and get on the wait list and we'll notify you of the next round. But it is definitely something you need to be considering when you're creating automated funnels for sure. All right, this next section is a little personal question. I shouldn't say personal, but just questions they want to know more like work-life balance, okay? So this is from Sabrina Collins Hayes. She said, I'd love to know your routine for what you eat. What's an example of breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, etc.? So first, Sabrina, I want to tell you that I am going to be having a podcast called Stacey's Favorite Things, and I am going to go deep on all of this stuff because you would be shocked how many people want to know these personal details. But to me, I eat for my business. I eat for my family. And that sounds so funny, but it's true. I don't like when people say, oh, you like those? I don't like those. Well, maybe I don't like that, but I'm thinking it's keeping me healthy. It's making me more focused. It's making me stronger. It's making me show up as a better, more energized mom, right? So what I'll tell you is, I'm going to go very quickly on this because I'm going to dive in deep in the next podcast about this. But I actually do the Bulletproof Intermittent Fasting Diet. I highly recommend you get the book Bulletproof Diet. And that's everything that I do. But basically, I drink a coffee every morning. Yes, I put the butter, the collagen, the oil, all that stuff in there. And I don't eat until about 12:30. That's when I eat lunch. And I basically eat from about 12 to about 6 or so every day. And I just eat between those 6 hours. And again, I'm going to go through all of this in great detail on the next podcast called Stacey's Favorite Things, okay? All right, real quick, I want to take a moment to let you know that I've reserved a few select dates to do a private VIP strategy day, just you and me working on your business for an entire day. It is a full day customized to whatever it is you need to work on. So maybe that's systems, maybe you need to hire a team, build a funnel, branding, positioning, whatever it is. Again, it's customized to you. So if you've been looking to work with me, this might just be the opportunity you've been waiting for. Go to shesbuildingherempire.com/VIP for all the details. All right, let's jump back into today's episode. So Susan Steele Askew asked, I'd love to see a typical day for you. I know every day is never the same, but just something like 9 to 11, I write content. Tuesdays are recording days. 1 to 3 a.m. exercise, etc. Okay. So, okay, this is good. And again, some of this will be in my favorite things episode, but for me, I try to reserve my morning. I only work 9 to 3. So know that. Okay. 9 to 3, Wednesday, I get to work until about 4:30. Okay. So 9 to 3, I am doing probably my mornings from 9 to noon. I'm trying to block out for things that I need to do and get done from about 12:30 until 3. Those are usually booked solid with appointments. Okay. Summer will look a little different for me because the kids are going to be home on Tuesdays and Fridays. But otherwise, Monday through Friday during the school year, I am booked solid in the afternoons because I'm recording podcasts on other people's podcasts, interviewing people for my podcast. So I have a lot of appointments, and that's when I try to do some coaching calls and things like that as well. My Powerhouse Mastermind gets some of my private time as well. So they usually book their appointments between 1 and 3 p.m. on certain days. So during the mornings, from 9 until noon, I only work on things. I have a team. So I work on things that only I can do. So right now I am recording this podcast because I can't hire my team to, imagine if I just said, oh, Claire, record this for me. And you guys would be like, what's going on? Where's Stacey? Right? So I am going to show up live. I am going to be coming up with content. I'm going to be creating courses. I don't have a set schedule of, okay, Monday's all podcasts, Tuesday's all of this, right? It depends on the season that I'm in. Right now I am finishing up a course that I'm creating. And as I'm going through the Profit Mastermind, things are popping up. They need more guidance in certain areas. So because of that, I'm actually still in content creation mode for one of my courses. But when that's done, then I have more free time to come up with other content, other blog posts, things like that. But right now, it is a lot of writing and researching and what does my audience want and getting really creative and coming up with, like, I'm the person that said, okay, I want an Ask Me Anything podcast. Let's go reach out to my audience. Let's see what they want. Let's ask them, right? So I'm still trying to be the vision of my brand, my company. So that's something to think about. Exercise. I'm exercising Tuesday, Friday, Sundays, 9 to 9:30. Again, this will be in the next podcast, but I work out with a personal trainer and I work out with a virtual trainer. So we do this in my home gym, on my laptop. I'm in Wisconsin. He's in Ohio, but it's been the most consistent I've ever worked out. And I've been doing this now for about over 2 years, which has been great. Okay. Amy Thetford, I'd love tips for balancing starting a new business with managing a home, raising small children, and all the other responsibilities that come with being a mom. So I treat my home like a business. Okay. And what I mean by that is I have systems for everything, okay? And a Google Calendar with amazing reminders. So as I'm recording this, I had some reminders pop up like order mulch and call contractor to get him out here for this, right? So in my calendar every April 1st, it's telling me schedule the mulch for the contractor, right? Like make sure this happens. Anything that I need to do, like here's a great example. I have my niece's birthday coming up in April. So in my calendar, about a week prior to her birthday, it says order birthday gift, right? Like buy a birthday gift. And then on her birthday, the pop-up's going to happen to be like send a text message, right? So everything is a system. I have too much on my plate, and so do you. And we can't remember everything. There is nothing in my head, you guys. Absolutely nothing. Everything is in this calendar. And I'm a systems girl. I want to make sure that everything in my house has a home. And if there's a missing spot, if there's something that's not there, I know it's missing because I know what goes there, right? Everything is labeled. And because I'm setting up these systems, my kids are getting really systematized. So Tanner is getting really into American Girl doll stuff. We actually really more have like the Target generation brand. But as she's getting into all of this, the accessories and shoes and clothes and all of this is getting crazy. So I bought her a bin and there's 3 drawers. And she said to me, Mom, I should get labels so I can put clothes, shoes, accessories. So I'm teaching without having to really teach. I'm showing my children how to stay organized. Their bedrooms are super organized. Everything is labeled. They know where things go. The more you can do this, the more they're helping you stay organized, right? The more things are labeled in my home, the more my husband knows where things go and what to do. So the more you can have these systems in place, the better. Now, I'm a huge fan of Ali Casaza. She, at the time you're listening to this, I'm not sure if her podcast has come out or not yet, but I just interviewed her. It's a great episode. I'm a huge fan of her. She's got some amazing courses that I've gone through and have just really helped me declutter. We live a very minimalist lifestyle. We really only have things in our house that we love or they just don't stay. And that has been really great and has helped me in my business as well. Okay. And you guys, one thing I'll say is I do not have an assistant and everybody always thinks that's crazy. But when you're as organized as I am, I just haven't had the need for an assistant yet. Yes, I have team members. Yes, I have people that I delegate to, but I don't have like one specific person who is my assistant who's managing my calendar or ordering something for me, right? So that's something I want you to think about when you are as organized as me. And I know people that I'll message I'm the one in my email inbox. Yes, I have some of my team does jump in there occasionally, but I'll message people and I always get their assistant and they are so unorganized. And I can't believe they can be this unorganized with an assistant, right? And I feel like I'm more organized without one. So just be careful that you're not just blowing this off and putting it onto somebody else because it really comes down to how organized are you first, okay? All right. Also, I will tell you, I have this product called Focused Formula Bootcamp. It is my least like inexpensive course I have out there. It's something super short and sweet. You can go through probably on a weekend. And it is how I organize my calendar, my project management system, my home. People are always asking me papers and filing and all of that. So we put together a course probably the last maybe 6 months or so. That's something you might want to check out. Just go to my website, She's Building Her Empire, and go to my Work With Me page and you'll see it there. Okay. Local business question. So this was from Karina. Where should a brick and mortar focus its growth strategy? So again, I love when people always say to me, okay, brick and mortar, online space, it's business is business, right? It really is the same thing. So here's what I'm going to say. Focus on your best sellers, okay? You know, when you go to Amazon and there's like the best seller, right? Everybody always wants the one that's popular, that everybody's looking for. And we have those in our businesses too, okay? And maybe you're new and you're starting and you don't know what they are yet, but you'll find them. There are best sellers. Like for instance, my Profit Mastermind, it's my best seller. We've done 4 rounds of it. I know that it sells out. I know people love it. They're waiting for it. Now, a lot of times people have these best sellers and they think, well, I need something else. I need something for after the Profit Mastermind. I need something complimentary. But they miss out on the opportunity to make that bestseller be their bestseller that keeps selling, okay? So figure out what are your bestsellers? Who are your ideal clients? Not the people that reach out to say, well, could you still serve me too? I know you do this, but could you do that? That's when you get sidetracked. That's when you lose focus. If you want to grow and skyrocket, you need to find your bestseller, find your ideal, we call them your perfect person, and keep filling those programs or selling those products that those people want. Don't keep doing these one-off things that you think you need because somebody, like one person asked you about it, okay? Do more of what is already working. I want somebody in one of my programs, and she said to me, I'm lost this year. I was doing way better last year and I'm lost. And I said, well, what did you do last year that was working, that was selling? Why aren't you doing that again, right? And people feel like, well, there's this phrase, what got you here won't get you there. So you've got to up level. Well, yes, but sometimes go back to what's working, right? Do more of what's working. That's another phrase we have to remember. So just be very careful. You're not jumping too fast, okay? All right. So I have a couple questions that came through of local businesses that want to go online too, looking for some online strategies. So Sammy Esterline said, I want to start a small fair trade store in a town of about 2,000 people. So I will need to do something online too. I just feel so lost where to even start. Okay. So first I want to question, do you need to have this local business? Do you need to have a store, especially if you're saying it's a very small town? If you're not going to have enough traffic, storefront may not be the answer. So question that first. I would almost test out your idea online before I would even open up a shop, okay? Now, I have so many people that they feel like if they want this to be a real business, they need a real space. I am recording this in my home office, okay? I'm not in some fancy space downtown Milwaukee, right? I'm in the middle of the country in a suburb of Milwaukee and I'm in my office. And you can have a real business without having a real brick and mortar building, a storefront, whatever that is. And I see a lot of people in the online space trying to go get office space and spending like $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a month to rent the space so they can feel like a real business owner and have a real staff and all of that. And as somebody who has two large buildings, I have a 9,000 and 7,000 plus square foot building with 40 employees. And I know what that feels like. And I know that you don't have to have it. It's not all that it's cracked up to be. It can be a lot of work to maintain these buildings. And even if you're renting, not even owning, you're spending a lot of money to maintain somebody else's building, you guys, okay? So just be careful that you're not jumping in and taking on a commitment of maybe a year or 3 year lease, right? So be very, very careful. Test small. Try to get on a month-to-month contract if you can. People are negotiable. If you try to go somewhere and they tell you it's a year lease, you could say, listen, your space has been empty for 3 years. I would love to jump in. I'll take care of like fixing it up to what I need it to look like, but I really just want to be here month to month. And maybe in 3 months we can revisit it and possibly get a year contract, right? People are negotiable. Do not just say yes to whatever they say, all right? Also, look at some third-party sites that already have an audience and advertising and marketing there. Like you don't have to pay for that when you're brand new. I would look into that a little bit, okay? But I think online is such a great opportunity for you. There is so much you can do online. Definitely be looking into automation funnels like we talked about earlier, okay? Okay, Jacqueline and Beck said, did you start your online business with coaching? Really quickly, yes, I did. Lots of private clients was my main focus. And actually, I'll read the second question after I answer this. I didn't start groups until I was big enough or had a big enough launch list. That's why Launched in 90 became so popular. I had to show people how to be small, but then grow very quickly in a week or so and get people excited about a product you have. Only now I can probably announce something. I say probably, but I've announced things without having to do a huge launch and have sold products. I couldn't do that 3-4 years ago. So I do think you need to start with private one-on-one or done for you services before you do groups until you have an audience. Okay. Next question from her. Did your starting idea for your online business end up be where you are now, or have you had to shift? Oh my goodness, I cannot read. Or have you had to shift to find where you shine? What's funny is I came out with like this gut feeling of productivity, serving people very similar to me in this brick and mortar space. And I started to get, I don't want to say pushed, but maybe led down a very cookie cutter path. And I kind of have come full circle to what it is I love and who I teach and what I'm sharing. And it's funny because you got to go with your gut and then you've got to be careful and go, is this where I want to head? Is this what I want to do? Is this the best place for me? So I've evolved so much. And you know, I just had to go through that journey. I had to go through these last few years to figure out what it is I want to do. And I also think it's those seasons of life, right? Things will change as you change and evolve. And like the podcast name has changed several times and the Facebook group has changed and my programs have changed. And I think you just need to be putting yourself out there and knowing that there will be successes, there will be failures, there will be lots of learning lessons, and you just need to let yourself evolve and know that it's okay. All right. Last part of this podcast, multiple businesses. I was shocked. I'm just going to read you all of the questions that came through, or I should say three of the questions I picked, lots of similar ones. And then I'm going to just kind of give you some advice on this. Okay. So Megan Jensen said, how did you grow your personal brand while scaling other businesses? Then Cecilia Minella said, I would love to hear your perspective of running multiple businesses. I know you've had a brick and mortar dance studio. You also do online coaching. I also run a few businesses and most people say to focus on one thing. Would love to hear your perspective. Then Ophelia Gill Lindsay said, as you've grown and scaled your businesses, how do you manage and market them all without appearing to be all over the place? I followed you since about 2016. So I know you own two brick and mortar dance studios. You have real estate properties and she's building her empire. Okay. So lots of these came through. Okay. All very similar. So here is what I will tell you. I 100% agree with focusing on one thing. And when I say that, people are so confused because they think you have so many. But you have to understand that I have been building my business for the last 16 years. And I shouldn't even say business. I've been building my empire for 16 years. I have multiple businesses. So for the last 16 years, I have done all of this. But I think people find me and assume I've done this in a very short period of time, and that's not the case. So first, I started with my first dance studio. And then after that, it was about the time that I needed to buy a home. I had started listening to Rich Dad, Poor Dad stuff. I was getting into real estate, just listening to that. That was the season of life. I was really intrigued. And instead of buying my first home, I bought a duplex, and that kind of got me into the rental game. Okay. I bought one property. That was it. Then after that, I decided, okay, I really like this. We bought a lake house and we used for short-term rentals. Then after that was settled and well running and systems in place and a team in place and things were going well, the second location opened. I focused on the second location. We got that up and running. Again, put systems in place, hired a team, got myself out. Next project, okay? So I am somebody that comes in, I'm trying to give you an analogy here. Like, think of somebody who flips houses. I decide, okay, this is my project. I go in, I gut the thing, I get it looking good, systems in place, right? Furniture in, all of that. And then I turn it over to the home, the buyers, right? Well, I just turn it over to my team and I train them how to continue to maintain what I've just done. And I do not get out of that specific role until I feel that it is being well run and managed to my standards, okay? So I have not done multiple things at one time. And when I have, it has not been something to brag about because it did not go well. I've spread myself too thin. So I really try to take on one big project at a time, okay? I have been talking about writing my second book forever. If you're listening, you're like, yes, you have. And the reason it has not happened was because every time I sit down to do it, I go, this is not the right time. This is a huge project and I'm still spreading myself too thin. So it's not that I'm not going to write a second book. It's just not the right time. And so many people are trying to do a million things all at once. And then you wonder why you're not getting the results you want. And it's because your focus is just everywhere. You've got to focus on one thing. So again, for the last 16 years, I have been building, truly building an empire. And right now, things feel really good and feel really like they're almost feeling like settling. And I'm going on about 3.5 years of this online business. And for the first time, I'm starting to feel like I can breathe a little bit. And that might sound super frustrating or sad to some of you going, what? This took you 3.5 years? But my point is I have evolved a lot and I had to figure out where I wanted to go and what I wanted to do. And I feel like I'm finding my groove. My audience is growing organically, not just with paid traffic, right? And I'm really finding myself. And as I find myself, I don't just jump on the next thing. I let it sit for a little bit because I have been working very, very hard these last 3.5 years. And it was a little bit of a rude awakening for me coming from a successful 7-figure business that I really wasn't in 40 hours a week at the time. And all of a sudden I had to dive head first, start over from scratch. And it was difficult. And I'm finally getting there. And I am excited to be heading into summer right now, taking 2 days off a week, only working Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And I'm ready for a little break. I'm ready to relax, to enjoy my time off. And when I feel like, I don't know if I want to say bored or feeling like I'm ready for the next challenge, that is when I will do the next big thing. But right now, I'm feeling really, really good. And I need to take that in and allow myself to reward myself for the success that I've had because of the hard work that I've put in consistently for the last 3.5 years in this online business. Okay. So basically, let me just break that down. It's getting systems in place, right? Doing the systems yourself, even though you're like, well, I'm a solopreneur, why would I create systems? Because eventually you want somebody to take those systems over. So you're building systems that you're giving somebody else eventually to follow. Hiring a team, which is a whole learning process. At some point, I am sure I will have to have a course or something to help you guys interview and hire and create systems. Everybody's asking me for things like that, especially having a team of 40. People always want to know, how are you doing this? And it's something that has taken a long time and we're still learning. We still make bad decisions and we hire off of, like, we go with our gut and sometimes our gut isn't right and we just have to do what feels best, but then we have to fix it when we hire the wrong person, right? So for me, it's just building my dream team and helping people see that vision with me. And it's just something that is a journey. It's not something where we're going to finish this race. It is this never-ending marathon, and you've got to enjoy the ride. That's my biggest lesson I've learned. So, all right, you guys, I hope you enjoyed this. If you did, please tell me. And if you want more of these, I will start doing more of these. So what we're going to start doing is I get so many questions of people wanting to pick my brain, ask me questions in DMs. And as much as I want to answer every single one of them, I also have to make sure I see my family and enjoy my life and not get burnt out working 24 hours a day. And this was a really great way to take some of these amazing questions and then publicly share them with everybody. So I'm going to have a special form or place where you can just start submitting these types of questions. And we'll do more of these if you tell me you loved it. So whether you want to leave a review and let me know, or you want to tag me on Instagram at Stacey Tuschel and show off this podcast so I know that you liked it, please do so. It really helps me and validates my ideas of people want to hear this, or, you know, I didn't really hear much about it. So this isn't really something people are interested in for next time. So you guys, thank you so much. I mean, literally, I could not have done this podcast without you. This is all this content, this good stuff, that some of the stuff I haven't even talked about ever came from you. So thank you so much. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your support. It has truly meant the world to me. All right, guys, have a great week. I will see you soon for another amazing episode. Talk to you soon. Bye, guys. We appreciate you joining us for this episode of She's Building Her Empire. Be sure to join the free Facebook community at shesbuildingherempire.club. For more free content, videos, and rock solid business advice to build your purposeful business and take it to the next level, please visit shesbuildingherempire.com. We look forward to helping you build your empire, create an everlasting impact, and live the life of your dreams. Until next time.